Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Well, good morning and welcome to another listening session. Today we have on the line Marcos. Hi, Marcos.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. I wanted you to take a minute and kind of introduce yourself, you know, to our listening audience and tell us a little bit about you and the work that you do.
Sure. Well, my name is Marco Seguiri, and I'm a visual mural artist and an artist all the way around. And my primary creative actions are producing murals in the communities around Sacramento, California. And I've been painting murals since 1983, took a little break during the college life, but then returned back to my passionate calling 10 years later. And in 1996, I painted my very first public mural in Sacramento and haven't stopped since.
I think I met you in the 90s. I think that's around the time that I met you, like 1996, when you were working, you know, when I was there in Sacramento working with the Sacramento Metropolitan Arts Commission. I met you around that time. You were doing murals.
Yes, you know, we met in the old Florin Mall, actually. You were doing some public outreach, and I met you. And then after we got to know each other a little better and that I qualified to do some projects, that I was hired to do my first public art project for the Sacramento Arts Commission in 1998, and I painted with some students at Grant High West. And we painted a mural called Time for Change. And that was a mural showing that how the inner city schools a lot of the times just basically get not well funding to facilitate their institution.
Hey, I almost forgot about that project. When you said it, my mind went to Grant High School that whole summer and the dynamics that happened with that group of kids and, you know, thrusting you and a few other artists into that project. And, you know what I mean, there was a lot of moving parts to that project, but you persevered and got the project done. You know, and I don't know, is it still at the school? Is it still standing?
You know, I don't think it's standing anymore. That school went through some dynamic other changes as well, so...
Yeah, sometimes we have to do a retrospect and go back and look at these public art projects that we're doing in looking at who is the placekeepers and keeping our work. You know, so that leads me into today's discussion on the Capital Region Creative Corps and how Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum is currently doing a art and placemaking project in South Sacramento, but in how your relationship as a muralist in the landscape of Sacramento has grown and how, you know, you are working with your own projects and then how you, as a cross-sector partner, connect with the museum, you know, and can you kind of give us that trajectory, how you began working with Shona at the museum?
Oh, working with Shona Museum. Well, Shona and myself are from, I shouldn't call us, I don't want to use the word pioneering, but we were in the 90s, in the late 80s and the early 90s, we were a small group of individual artists that were pushing social awareness projects throughout Sacramento. And as people in the same business, you get to know each other here and there, and we just started respecting our work through conversations, but in 2016, there was a Sacramento mural festival that came to town. And when that came to town, that kind of put all the other mural artists in a little bit more awareness of what was going on, of how we were not being selected and other artists were coming into our city, which seems to be the normal way of today's achievement of murals in some ways. But that was new to our city, and it kind of brought us all together as mural artists to discuss what was happening. And then from that point, we, part of my organization, which I also operate a nonprofit, which is Artner's Nonprofit, we branched off, and then we threw our own mural festival in South Sacramento. And that's when I really got to know Shona, because she was invited to come out and represent the beauty in the work that she does and the message sharing of the African-American culture. And that was in 2018. And since then, we've just been working together to this point where she had gotten the Florin Road Beautification Grant and invited me in to help paint some murals with that project. And there's a few murals attached to that. And what makes that even really cool is Shona and I are from the same neighborhood, the same side of town. So I feel really honored to be adding to my community.
Well, you also are alumni from Luther Burbank High School.
Yes, I am. I am very honored to be back at Luther Burbank. It's a little nostalgic to walk around the campus and see just a very short 30-plus years ago that I was like these young individuals that I see now of confusion, dreams, awesomeness, and just living life. Love it.
It is very like, you were describing to me the other day about how you feel about, you know, the whole being back at Burbank, you know, and you being alumni. And then when you're talking to, the students and the staff there, what is that like for you?
It has a different type of feeling. It's not like I don't think I could kind of say, and it's not at this level at all. But it's almost like you see a celebrity, you know, like you're coming back to this campus, and what's bringing you here, what's bringing you back, and just the way some of the interactions with the staff and the students, they look at you like the staff is like honored that you're back because They're in the arena putting in the work for the students. And the students, they just look at you like, because they don't really know you yet, but who are you in this world to come back and give us your time that you were like me. You were in this classroom or you were down these hallways. And once I find out about you, that may be me. Maybe not in artwork, but just, and I may be a community person like you and then come back to my high school and offer some guidance and some opportunities. So it feels pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty good, pretty cool feeling. I think, that, again, that whole giving back, to community and the work that we do as artists, and why, we selected Burbank as a partner with the Journal Truth African Heritage Museum, and Shona has been making sure that she's doing art education there at the school and also art education in the community and continuing being a community partner or cross-sector partner with Luther Burbank was very important in the design of the museum programming and outreach and how we're continually having our partners be at the table when we get these opportunities like the Capital Region Creative Core Art and Placemaking Project. And a little bit about this program is a media and outreach and engagement campaign, like community engagement campaign, that focuses on social justice
and community engagement, and the objectives of the CRCC program are to create an economic and workforce development program and demonstrate how artists from multiple disciplines can be instrumental in developing and implementing critical campaigns to address our most pressing community issues. And your campaign that we're featuring at the school is on social justice, food justice. And you said this comment here is that I kind of extracted from your work plan and your social justice statement is this subject, food justice or injustice, conundrum, exists because I believe it is a fundamental and widely unknown action of social equality and economic separation. And many daily actions in the same separation arena are seen in someone's physical location, awareness, or seen in someone's self-expression challenges. But to acknowledge the neighborhood's local food stores as one of them isn't understood and comprehended is a possibility. You stated, and so what do you mean by that? You know, because it's a lot to digest and a lot to dissect.
Well, I know I use those big words to become a better writer than I am speaker sometimes. But what I basically mean with that is, you know, there was another statement to that. Well, there's more to that whole statement, but overall, I think the more we move in the world from this, the years as they keep coming along, we are getting more conditioned as humans to be addicted to convenience. And that once we go into that arena of being convenience, we tend to ignore other things that are out there that are incorrect. But since we're convenienced, we move through it. So in what I was saying about the food source of that, the first thing we do is we just assume that the stores are going to be open forever. Anytime I want to go get food, I can just go to the store, which is like any other business, things could happen. The other thing is that once we get to these stores and we're conveniently already there, the marketing behind that opens up and we start finding ourselves attracted to foods that are not good for our body or foods that are designed cheaper. And that's out of our arrangement because we only have so much income to buy our foods. Or they're just not there. The limitation of some of our foods are just not there. And we go with, oh, well, they didn't have that food today. Well, maybe they only had two of that product and they have 45 people out here that need that product. So we don't really see those types of actions in our food source. We just go and we are there to take what they have or afford what we can buy or accept that they don't have it. And that's a part of our social justice that goes to other parts of our injustices, that it's easy to say, hey, I don't like that person because they have a yellow shirt on. That's easy to understand. But when you go to see food, it doesn't comprehend that way. You're just like, oh, they don't have our product, so let's just buy this one instead. They don't have the good product, well, let's buy this other one that's a lot worse for our body, but it fits our budget, or they have so many of these that they made it work to our desire. So that's kind of what I mean on that. That is what I mean.
And that's that whole marketing and how the strategy behind marketing to a certain population in a community, especially those communities that are food deserts. One of the things in Sacramento that the beauty of being in the city is that I feel it's fruitful. I mean, you see orange trees, you see lemon trees, you see, you know, produce that are hanging right there for you to consume. But do you think people consume them or go out there?
No.
I know in some neighborhoods they won't go pick the fruit. They'll let the fruit fall and hit the ground, you know, and go to the store and buy a bag. you know, of the same fruit. You know, I've seen it happen in even my family with the younger our generational nephews. They don't want to eat that fruit. It's grown in the yard. You know, they'd rather get something from the grocery store. It looks better. You know,
it does.
Those ways that it's marketed instead of us, you know, being, again, Sacramento has, you know, it's very fruitful. I mean, it's land to grow. There's community gardens that are, you know, and urban farming that is happening there in the city. It's one of the Central San Joaquin Valley is a, you know, one of the major production areas for food in the United States, you know, and for some reason, you know, in our minds and during this marketing, and that's just me going on a rant tangent right now, is that it's not seen as something edible. Even when you're bringing farmers markets into neighborhoods, you know, who are the people that are there purchasing that food from the farmers market? And here, let's shift the conversation back to Burbank and you being there at the Burbank Urban Garden and some of the things that are being taught to the students in the context of an academic urban garden and how, you know, they are being taught to take that switch in their head and look at the whole production of food.
Most definitely. That is one of their staple missions is to – well, being out of school, everything's educational. But the absorption part of that education with this urban garden project is the students are learning about what I said about having the indifferences of having food and access to it. But they're taking it a step further, and they are out there with their hands in the dirt, toiling the earth, and harvesting the products that they are growing. And with the hands-on part to your education, that adds in a whole nother attribute of what you're doing. You know, I learned many things in school, but once I left the classroom, it just moved out of my head and I made room for other things that I found important. But I think if I would have been like these students, more hands-on action, it would have just made a deeper impact. And one of the things that we are also teaching there, or what they are teaching, and I'm going to be sharing in my mural messaging with the students, is the access to understand that what you are saying, we are from one of the greatest regions of a food-growing area, that why don't we take advantage of that opportunity to have smaller units. You don't need a plot of land to this on where you can have just smaller units in a location where they're 6x6 and you can grow product and make a network of someone else who has a 6x6 garden, and then you can trade. You can trade products with each other and learn the power of community-ness through the action of food growth. Nutrition, connection. And the other saying that I also like is, it's not that the food is bad sometimes, but who's cooking it for you? So once you start having that part in your understanding, it's like the unseen energies that we have all connect, and it comes through the part of nutrition, which is the source of everything. Because if we're not healthy, we can't do anything. So I'm proud to be implementing that message through the project at Burbank.
You know, I'm glad that this worked out for you to be there. You know, and when I said, okay, I'm going to have Marcos, and notice I put the S on the end. And I placed you as one of the artists in the placemaking project there at Luther Burbank, and the urban garden is the placekeepers, you know, for this public art. And we began this conversation about being over at Grant High School and whether your mural is still there. And so a lot of times in these placemaking projects that we do, we are not identifying the role of the placekeeper. And Todd came to me and Shona during the kickoff last March of the Thorn Road Community Beautification Project when the Governor Newsom was there in a public, you know, basically was a public announcement of our project and this big statewide Caltrans clean grant that he put money into statewide to come in with litter abatement and to beautify neighborhoods. And the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum was able to acquire like this $1 million opportunity and a partnership with the Caltrans, with the Office of Arts and Culture in Sacramento, Thorn Road Community Beautification partners, which are the Thorn Road Partnership and Florence Square, where the museum is located, and Luther Burbank is one of our partners in that. And so we were there as for the kickoff, and Todd comes up, and he's talking about this vision. Basically, he's planting seeds, right, and talking about the vision he has for the urban garden and bringing art in, creating art installations there at the garden, and he just has this vision of murals. And he just kind of like was talking and sharing his vision. And so this opportunity came up, and I was trying to wrap my head around, okay, what can we do over in that sector of our zip code area, that's our target area, that would, you know, that we could kind of design a project there at Luther Burbank involving the museum and the broader community there in, you know, along Florence. And so this came up, right? And you weren't in that conversation at the time, but you were part of the other, you know, the Thorn Road Community Beautification Project, and we placed, and I just made sure I placed you, and Shona wanted to make sure we placed you at that, at the Burbank as the lead artist there, you know, in shaping and designing the plan. And so we got the funding, and I let Todd know, and it's like, okay, you know, so for the past 6 months since we announced it in September, we've been on our marketing campaign, we've been doing our branding, and we've been doing billboards, you know, with our social justice messaging, you know, and so mm-hmm. this, we're going to phase in now, you know, to the school. And with that phase in, tell us about that. Tell us how you are getting the students involved. Tell us how, you know, what this looks like and what the workforce is going to be like for you to be there to take the seed that's been planted by Todd last year, last March, and where we are now a year later, and that seed and how that seed is coming up from the ground after, you know.
Well,
and what it does underground and the systems that are set up, and now it's kind of being able to kind of sprout up.
Well, in an area at Burbank High School that's probably in the equivalent size of, we'll just say half of a football field. So you have that much acreage or that much area. They have various gardens that are growing, and then they have their pits for their soil that it needs to be maintenance as well. And then they are perimetered by some buildings. And in one of the corners of the plot or the whole area, you have a 60-foot by 30-foot agricultural building. And that is that is in the same perimeter by some portable buildings to keep it a rectangle, the whole area a rectangle. So what we're going to do is we're going to be painting on the agricultural building, sending the message, or sending the, how do you say, what'd you say, Todd planted the seed. So now we're going to watch the seed grow into this beautiful picture on this agricultural building, and it's going to tell the story of what we're talking about, the the visions of food injustice and how their program is making it work on that campus. So, for example, we're going to possibly show off what I said earlier, like a store, building of a store, and it's going to have a closed sign on the building. But in front of that picture, you'll show people being able to grow food on their own and other little elements throughout the picture to show the contrast of what could be and where we're at, or where I should say where we're at, what we're teaching of where we could be at. So that's going to be the message of the mural. Along with that, there will be some smaller individual panels that will be focused on, like, and this is an example, we haven't created these yet, but something of someone's cultural heritage can be seen on a smaller mural, such as, this is a bok choy plant, and these are the dishes that you eat this food in, and we're going to show the deliciousness behind that and other products of where this, or other avenues where this product may go, and show the one that it's a staple for by highlighting cultural heritage of where it originated from.
So I can't wait to see these, and there's some other installations and, you know, that are going to happen, and there's an, also a school plan there, and you're working with the school beautification committee. That's a kind of loosely formed committee with John Doolittle at the realm of that, or the helm of that, and you know, bringing the students together, you know, to form your core planning group. And in May, I understand you're doing workforce development and having the students there, you know, to guide them through the public art process and this whole placemaking project. And we call this tactical urbanism in placemaking, and making sure that not only you're there to paint and create art projects, but also, you know, you're looking at the marketing part of it, the, you know, training of the youth to be the, you know, the cultural bearers to talk about, you know, this, you know, edible schoolyard project. And I'm going now into the edible school project, which has been, you know, they're celebrating like 25 years of edible education. And their mission as a nonprofit is dedicated to transformation of public education by using organic school gardens, kitchens, and cafeterias to teach both academic subjects and the values of nourishment and stewardship and community. And so we're really excited about what role the arts are going to play here in this project. You know, we have like a minute left of our listening session. And is there anything you want to add? I know that you have this wonderful, zealous project that you're doing with Caltrent all as well. And where can we find out more information about the museum, WX Museum?
The museum you can find at the website is Mural Expressions, and the subline to that is the WX campaign. You can find out about the
WX. And where can we find more information about you?
You can look at West Coast Images, WESKOS Images.com. That's a history.
Right, and I'd like to make sure that we invite you back, you know, to continue the conversation. And when you get further into the planning of this project, we'd like to get an update from you. An artist-run
project that I'd love to be back. Thank you for having me here today.
Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.